Good morning. Brian Mazurowski here with you for the next hour on WBEN. Hope everyone's having a good Monday out there after a nice Bills win yesterday and hopefully another one to come in less than a week on Saturday. We've got a lot in store for you, and I wanted to start on an issue we were talking about this morning, something that is expected to be talked about a little bit more in depth at a couple of school board meetings later on this week throughout Western New York, and that is the state memo sent out to schools saying that Native mascots imagery needs to be done with, or else there will be consequences that could include the removal of the superintendent and the school board. I think it's a very interesting issue to look at, and that's why I'm bringing on my first guest this morning, and that is John Kane, a Native activist who you might recognize his voice on the radio. Let's Talk Native, John Kane, from back in 1520. John, I was a producer of your show for a short period of time.
Yes, you were.
Unfortunately, not so anymore, but I miss seeing your face. It's great to have you on the radio. I want to just start with this idea, and I'm wondering what kind of role you might have played in this, because you're as outspoken as they come on a lot of these issues and have been for many, many years. When this memo was sent out, did you play a little bit of a part in maybe shaping how this would be worded to school districts?
Not so much how it would be worded, but I actually was one of the forces that made this happen. As if you've read the memo, you know they cite Cambridge Central School in the memo directly, and that's where I was at high school. And I took the fight to them. As you know, I've been involved in some of the mascot issues before, including when Lancaster changed theirs. But, you know, when I've been involved in this debate, oftentimes I'm invited in by a school board or a school board member or, you know, perhaps one of the organizations that's involved in it. But my old high school never called. So I finally said, look, I can't take on a school like Lancaster and not address my own school. So I went to Cambridge back in the fall, like November of 2020, and I formally asked them to retire their Cambridge Indians mascot. I started a bit of a petition, and I garnered a little bit of support, mostly some overwhelming opposition, and I did get the school board to retire the mascot at the end of that school year. They had ran a few school board members onto new school board members who ran solely on the mascot platform, and then they rescinded the retirement memo. And the families that I was associated with in Cambridge then petitioned the Commissioner of Education, Dr. Betty Rosa, and claimed that the rescinding of that retirement resolution was arbitrary and capricious and an abuse of their discretionary authority. And she agreed. So she ordered Cambridge to return to its retirement resolution. And once she did that, I started pressing her directly and in the media out in the Albany area, the Times Union and other papers out there, saying, look, if you can tell one school to get rid of its mascot, you can tell the rest of the schools. But here's the backstory that most people aren't paying attention to. 20 years ago, the Commissioner of Education, Richard Mills, told schools then that this idea that you're honoring Native people is it's not flying anymore. You're not going to get away with this thing. We've done the analysis. We've looked at what the experts say, both on from a psychological association standpoint, and all of the Native leaders have weighed in on this. That was 20 years ago, and he told schools then you need to get rid of the mascots and do it in a time that's practical. I mean, he didn't give them a deadline, and he wasn't threatening them, but he said do it, and many did, but not all of them did. And some of them actually dug in, and some of them actually expanded the use of their Native mascots, like Cambridge. And I can't speak to Iroquois Central and some of the others, but they had 20 years. It wouldn't have cost a dime to get rid of these things because they could have just phased them out, but they didn't. And you know what? When Washington dumped its racial slur of a mascot, and Cleveland dumped its goofy logo and its name, another wave of school said the handwriting has been on the wall and it's clearly becoming more prominent on the wall. I need to do this. But those schools who refused really refused at their own peril. So when this memo came out, which came on the heels of Cambridge suing the Commissioner of Education and losing in court. So now she had a court. I mean, the NYSED had a court ruling supporting this authority that the commissioner had. And, here's the other thing that this New York State Department of Education has that Richard Mills didn't have 20 years ago. They've got laws. They've got laws like the Dignity for All Students Act, which is, again, cited in this memo, that you can't have promote a racial stereotype of a people and then have a law that's supposed to be supposed to stop discrimination. And, of course, you also have this wave of diversity, equity, inclusion programs that NYSED has been active in promoting. And many schools have adopted these things. So the question is, how can you have a law that's supposed to prevent discrimination, a policy that's supposed to encourage equity, inclusion, and diversity, and still have one group of people being mocked and being used by others for their amusement and entertainment in these oftentimes ridiculous images?
John, I can only speak for myself, but it's, I think, clear for me, and I think a lot of people, to see, and we go back to what happened in Lancaster. You mentioned what happened in D.C., with the Washington then Redskins, the Lancaster then Redskins. And I think it's clear for people to look at that and see why, okay, this shouldn't be a nickname anymore. I think it's a lot less clear for people to see out of, Warriors. Warriors is going to be a popular one this time around because that's many of the school districts in Western New York we're talking about are the Warriors for their nickname. And I think people look at that and say, oh, wait a second, what's wrong with that? In your eyes, what is wrong with that?
Well, what people aren't understanding is they're missing the point. It isn't necessarily even the terminology. Yeah, some words are worse than others. Savage and Redskin, yeah. There's no question that those things are pretty derogatory. It's the idea of using a people for a mascot. I mean, the offensiveness comes from being used in this way. I mean, think about this, Brian. At the very time that schools were adopting these native mascots for their schools, and let's be honest, they weren't doing it for us. They were doing it for them. They weren't promoting us. They were promoting themselves and certain characteristics that they were trying to associate with those imageries. But at the same time schools were doing that, native kids were still being ripped out of their homes and sent to boarding schools to have their identity stripped. So, I mean, how could you even not connect the fact that white kids were being encouraged to beat on their oatmeal canisters and smear their mom's makeup on their face and play Indian as a part of their schooling, while native kids were having their identity literally beaten out of them? So what gets missed in all this is it's not necessarily the terminology. It's the practice itself. But on the terminology and the imagery, think about what they're portraying. They're portraying us as relics of the past. So there are many people who don't even know Native people still exist. What do they see? They see a logo on the side of a helmet. They see these buff, virile, aggressive, if not violent, images of Native people that are splashed on their walls as murals or banners and that kind of stuff. That's the way we are characterized. Yeah, look, I have no problem. In fact, I use the expression warrior, but I use the expression warrior as a peacekeeper, not as a violent analogy to people crashing into each other on a football field.
I'm glad you brought up that point, because truthfully, that's why I brought you on today, because you said something many years ago when I was producing your show that has stuck with me as, John, it is to me like the argument in this entire nationwide controversy that you brought up, it would have to be, close to 10 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And that is that in your eyes, and I think truthfully, it treats Native people as if they do not exist anymore. And I remember you talking about this years ago and you bringing up things like Spartans or other ways that we would name teams. And it evokes an image of the past. And your argument was, well, it's not a thing of the past. I'm sitting here talking to you right now. And that, to me, is a key argument in all of this. Do you think it is the key to getting people to maybe understand your point of view?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I mean, the fact that we're still here. I mean, and let's be honest. I mean, we all know that this idea of objectification is a negative thing. But that's it. This is clearly what it is. And here's the one thing, Brian, I got to ask. For those people who say that they're doing this to honor us, I ask one simple question. How would you do the same thing for black people? What would be your imagery? What would be the name of your sports team? If you can't come up with an appropriate name and image to honor black people, then why the hell do you think you can do it to native people? Because you're creating. See, what I was saying is that this mascot issue and these names and logos, they are actually the erasure. Our presence isn't being promoted by that. In fact, our existence is actually being clouded by this thing. It's almost being erased because we are being cast as these relics of the past. You know, we've had Hollywood define us. We've had, you know, famous authors define us in their literature. We see this on television. We see it. We see it in these mascots. But we're still here, and we're living, breathing human beings, and we aren't necessarily somebody with a tomahawk in our hands on the warpath.
John, I have two cousins of mine, half Seneca, and I've talked to one of them about this quite a lot. And he went to a Native college, and you know, he spent a lot of time talking about this issue with Native people from all over the U.S. And his big takeaway from this, and I want to know what you think about this, because this is the other thing. Your point is one that sticks with me on this issue. His point is another. And his big takeaway is there's no real consensus among all Native people that everybody thinks the same way. And his big thing was, I think most people are just sick of white people telling us what we think. From my knowledge and what I've heard over the past few days, at least from the Seneca Nation, they were not made aware that the state was going to send out this memo when they did. This was a directive from the state. Is there a little bit of that here? Is there a little bit of, can we stop pigeonholing everyone in to one box in terms of how they feel about a particular issue? Because your opinion, my opinion, might not reflect everybody's opinion.
Well, and that's true for Native people and non-Native people. But let me be clear here. There is somewhat of a consensus when you look at the nations who have weighed in on the subject. There's not a single Native organization or Native entity of any kind that has defended this. We've had the National Congress of the American Indian. We've had the Native American Journalists Association. The Seneca Nation has already weighed in on this. In fact, some of their statements regarding this use of mascots was used in the Cambridge case in the lawsuit and has been placed in front of NICA, as was the Mohawk territories, as was Onondaga, the rest of the Haudenosaunee, all of the nations that are involved with their ancestry being here, and frankly, in all these other regions. Native people have made it. Now, I know that there are individual Natives who don't hold the same view. And part of it, and I'm going to explain that. You consider the fact that we have experienced, I mean, through residential schools alone, almost 200 years of erasure of identity. We've had our language forbidden. We've had so much of our culture that has been derided, and then it gets lifted up in Hollywood. And then we see the dominant culture doing things like naming the football teams after them. So I know that as I was a kid, I knew a lot of my relatives who were Washington football fans or Cleveland baseball fans. And the reason they were is because it was the only thing in the dominant culture that they could identify with. But as many of us matured, we realized what a mockery it really was. And especially as this whole idea of the business of sports grew, when you see 50,000 people, you know, in red face, slinging, you know, these foam tomahawks and really just embarrassing. I mean, it is embarrassing because it is a mockery. I mean, look, I have to keep making the analogy. We know that blackface is wrong, but why don't we know redface is wrong? I mean, we still had people showing up at they still show up at Kansas City games. They were showing up at Cleveland games, literally in redface and headdresses. I mean, I always got to point to this one. There was a Philadelphia sports fan, both for the Eagles and for the Flyers, who would, when they would play a team like Washington or the Chicago Blackhawks, this guy would put on makeup. He would take out of a duffel bag a rubber head that he had dressed, you know, made up like a native, like a decapitated native head, with headdresses on and with war paint on. And then he had a saber. He would run through this head, and he'd hoist it up during the games. And you know what? TV couldn't resist putting him on. I mean, even during the Stanley Cup playoffs, they couldn't resist focusing in on this Philadelphia Flyers fan with the impaled Indian head.
Because we're running out of time, to sum up your argument against it, it sounds like it's basically you want Native people to be treated the same way that anybody would treat any other race of people.
Yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, yes. And we are the only ones singled out for this purpose. And it's just got to stop. It is a mockery. It is the appropriation of our identities. And unlike many other mascots, people become really, really obsessed with this. And you have people say, no, I'm going to be a warrior for the rest of my life. Do you ever hear anybody say, I'm going to be a panther for the rest of my life? I mean, the way that white people especially have glommed onto this imagery. And the second you tell them that it's wrong, I've always said, you know what's even more racist than using a native people for a mascot? The response you get when you tell people it's wrong.
Well, John, appreciate the time, as always, and thank you for your perspective on this. And it's a pleasure to talk with you once again. John Kane, a native activist who's joining us to talk about this issue. And I want to hear from people on this issue. And I do think it is important to listen to, because I see the text board right now. It's important to expose yourself to people who disagree with you on the issue. And if you think he's being too sensitive, as somebody just texted in, to put yourself in his shoes as well. What would you do? I have one problem with the state's directive, even though, because of my conversations with John in the past, I do think it is well-intentioned and a good idea. But I do have one issue with it and what it might cause. And I want to hear from you, too. 803-0930 throughout the morning here on WBEN to join me after the news with what you think. The state telling school districts no more Native American imagery, no more Native American mascots. Is it about time? Let me know. 803-0930. I'll be here. Brian Mazeroski on WBEN. All right, back here. Joe Beamer is here. He's just sneaking out of the studio, and he'll be in for David Bellavia coming up about a half an hour from right now. We are talking about this. If you missed the start of the show, John Kane, Native activist, join me to talk about this issue. The state's directive, the memo sent out to schools, change your Native mascot or else. Could remove your school board. Could remove the superintendent. We're serious this time. And what you think about that. Now, I wanted to get John on to get his perspective on things because I think it is just crazy when people talk about this without at least getting some perspective of the other half. I think it's crazy to do what I mentioned to John, my cousin says, which is have a bunch of white people talk about how we feel the whole time. So we had John on, and I want to hear from you, 803-0930. And I like a lot of John's points. To me, the number one point, the reason I brought him on, he brought it up again on his own this time around. I heard him make this point about a decade ago. And it is the one thing that stuck with me. He feels that having your image, that having a native mascot for whatever, a high school team, a professional team, whatever it might be, it's his position that that's treating his entire group of people, an entire race of people, as if they don't exist anymore. Because you only do that to things that don't exist or relics of the past. Spartans. Right? Something from a bygone era. And you would never do that. And he mentioned this. You would never do that. Could you imagine? We have a new team. Oh, we're adding Williamsville. We're changing our name. We're going to be the Williamsville Whites. We're just, you know, we're honoring the heritage. It just, you know, we're going to put a white guy's face on the side of the helmets. And, no, look, there's nothing wrong with that. There's no slur. But you would never do it. You would never do it. You would never name a team right now. I mean, how many teams are out there? You know, there's all these new sports. The XFL coming back, they named all their teams. Teams change names. No one is naming their team after any race of people in the year 2022 because you would never do it. So that's the one thing that's always stuck with me that John has said, that it treats Native people as if they're a thing of the past when they're not. They're right here. Now, I mentioned at the end of last segment, there is one thing. Now, somebody texting in, the Rams, oh, they still exist. Hey, buddy, you're not calling into the PETA show, all right? Rams are animals, not people. There is an issue I take with how the state went about doing this time around. In this memo sent out to schools saying that this has to be done by the end of the school year, you have to begin this process or else you're out. It is creating conflict where I don't know if there necessarily needs to be that conflict. I remember covering the whole ordeal in Lancaster. Right? That whole ordeal, I remember covering that. And it was ugly. It was very ugly. The whole thing about it was ugly. You had a town kind of fighting each other. You had adults yelling at kids in school board meetings. It was just gross, the whole thing. And I do feel that the state's directive right now is just inviting that ugliness, that conflict, to happen in places where you didn't really need it to happen. I mean, was there a conflict? Was there an uproar in the city of Tonawanda about this? Was there an uproar in Cheektowaga about this? Could this have been better resolved by letting it happen organically over time? I think so. And that's where my problem would be, is that it invites this conflict maybe unnecessarily. Or if you listen to John there, necessarily. He believes that this needs to happen. That, yeah, there's going to be some conflict along the way, but he and other people think like him have had enough. Well, what do you think? 803-0930. We'll start in Lancaster and we'll go to Rose. Rose, you know, I remember being in Lancaster when this was going down, and it was ugly.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. I'm just calling to give you a different perspective. I attended Iroquois High School from second grade till the time I graduated. From at least second grade to eighth grade, we learned about all the Native American tribes in New York State. What they ate, how they hunted, what their houses were like, what their rituals were like. Not extensively, but a skim of that. All through those formative years of learning, I learned to revere and respect, to this day, at 56 years old, the Native American. Okay? I cannot tell you, when I think about them hunting and using every single scrap of that animal, what as a, even just a human being, that does for me out of respect for them, okay? So, to say that I looked at any kind of Indian, Native American in our culture or in our state as a crazy, savage, or any of those awful things, no. Okay? I've always had the utmost respect for the American Indians. So I know that some people might have a different brain and take that Native American symbol to a different level. Like you said, the the guy at the hockey game or whatever. Nobody wants to be looked at like that, okay? I love my school. I love Iroquois. I feel that I wouldn't maybe be the person I am academically, intellectually, or just as a person if I didn't go to that school, because it was a wonderful place to have an education. And as I said, we were never taught anything disparaging about Native Americans, let alone the Iroquois. Everybody that went there, goes there now, takes pride in the fact that they are Iroquois chief.
Well, Rose, I appreciate the thoughts. I'm struggling to see how any of this really relates to a mascot. The mascot is not changing whether or not you get to learn about all that stuff.
I understand. I guess what I'm trying to say is some of these schools, their history is steeped in those mascots. There's lineage of families that have gone on to do great things because of those sports experiences that they had, okay? I understand that the Native Americans are not happy about it. I get it. But I'm just trying to let you know that not every white person in the suburbs looks at it the same way.
Rose, I appreciate the call. And, I mean, listen, I understand what you're saying. And I don't think that anybody who uses that, you know, that is their team name. I don't think anyone who plays for the Kansas City Chiefs is a racist against Native Americans because they like being on the Chiefs and they wear a jacket that says it. But what you said toward the end there, you know, I understand Native Americans might not be that big. Shouldn't that be, you know, like the number one thing that matters in this? You know, again, if you're going to, and a lot of people are bringing up the Fighting Irish. You know, again, I said that name came from, what, like 100 years ago. If they were naming the team now, they wouldn't choose that name. You can't dispute that. But if a group of Irish people, I'm sure they are, started to speak out and say, we don't like this. We don't like the stereotype. We don't like that a team name. We're still here. I mean, then you would. You would have that discussion. To my knowledge, that hasn't happened yet. It's happening here with another group. I mean, I that should be the number one thing. And I also with this, with the mascots when it comes to high school. You know, John said this in the last segment. Do you hear people walking around saying, well, I'm proud to be a Panther. And that's, you know, I went to Sweden. We were the Panthers. I would just never, I can't imagine, right? I remember this, the image that is stuck in my head of covering the all the meetings and everything that happened in Lancaster and being there. Was like a 60-year-old man in his Letterman jacket. And like, I'm sorry, but I'm thinking of another L word to describe that type of person. Like, I'm not like sitting back and thinking like, oh yeah, thank goodness I was a Panther. Thank goodness. When Lancaster changed their name, my vote was for no name. Like, you don't need a mascot at all. You're Lancaster. Like, that's what you should be proud of. Your hometown. Not a knight or a whatever. An orange. A bill, a saber, you know, whatever you... Like, it's the location that you take pride in, not the mascot. And I never understood people years and years later, like, hanging on to, like, one little bit of their high school experience. I always looked at that as being a little strange. I played sports in high school. I had a great time in high school. You won't catch me, as soon as I graduated, you're not catching me walking the halls. Like, I'm not going back. It's like done. It was school. Go to Bonnie. Bonnie, also in Lancaster, here on WBEN. What's going on?
Hi, I have a couple opinions, and I sort of agree with Rose. But what I'd like to say is, and I'm much older than Rose, we never looked at these names, whether it was the DPU Wildcats, the JFK Bears. To us, it was strength. Warriors meant strength, power. We didn't dissect it and make it into something. It was just our school.
Hey, Bonnie, can I stop you right there? I just want to ask you, when you mentioned that, I don't think this gets through enough. Nobody is accusing the people in the district. When you listen to John talk, he's not accusing you or any administrator or anyone of doing anything differently. He's saying that, okay, it might be well-intentioned, but that's not always how it's taken from Native people living today. Doesn't that count for anything?
Well, I understand that, and I really think we should go to the source, go to the Indians, the various cultures, and find out how they truly feel. Are they truly upset about it? Or, you know, all of a sudden we're making all these rash decisions, and that school just invested all that money in their field, and now they have to reevaluate. Like I said, it seems like when I was growing up, and I'll be 75, we just never dissected it. We never put psychology into play. It was, we were proud of our school, our mascot, whatever it was, and never thought beyond that. Now it's touchy-feely, our feelings are hurt, it's just getting ridiculous.
Well, and Bonnie, thanks for the call. We have a lot on the line I want to get to. I want to respond to your point. I will be the first to tell you when I think something's being too touchy-feely, you know, something like that. You're being overly sensitive. To me, this is just like a classic example of where's the hurt in this? To me, changing a mascot in a high school is not a big deal. The point you bring up about the cost of changing it over. Well, okay, well, then don't do it right away. If you just put in a new turf field with the mascot on it, let it age out. But there's no real harm in changing the name of a high school mascot? I mean, there really isn't. Like, at the end of the day, what does it mean? To me, like, nothing. Again, I said I went to Sweet Home. I played school. We were the Panthers. We could have been the Piddlywinks for all I care. Like, it just does not matter at all. And you're being told by a group of people, and not all. And Bonnie, I liked your idea. Well, let's go poll. Okay, yes, let's get a poll of every Native person in America. Like, that's opinions differ. I brought that up with John. Opinions differ across. You're in no way going to get every Native person to say, yes, this offends me. You're in no way going to get every Native person to say the other thing. Because, hey, guess what? They're people too. And opinions are different. An opinion from one person to another is going to be a different thing. But you have a pretty sizable group of Native people telling you, hey, we find this to be offensive for these reasons. You know, this the Redskin example, we find this to be offensive because in our culture, this is a slur. And we would appreciate it if you would consider changing the name. For Warriors, we find this to be a little offensive because we feel like we're here and you would never do this to any other race. So if you could, please consider changing the name. And by the way, I think it should be mentioned that these it is a sizable portion of our community. Like, these are our neighbors. Seneca, Iroquois, Native people are here living with us in Western New York. These are your neighbors telling you, hey, yeah, it doesn't really sit right with me. And not all of them will say that. Some of them will say, I have no problem with it. But in this instance, when you're talking about the nickname for a high school, what's the hurt? We're not talking about something crazy that we're asking to be changed. We're asking people to say, well, hey, can you please stop eating cereal every morning because that's offensive to me or something? You know, I don't know. It's the name of a high school. Like, I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. And you could say we're being, we're being too, everyone's too fragile, easily offended. I mean, I could turn that right back and say, hey, if you care so much about your high school changing names, you're being a little fragile and easily offended. It can all go both ways. What I'm hoping is that everyone gets out of their comfort zone a little bit and just sees all the aspects. And at the end of the day, everyone's going to have a different opinion. And those opinions are not going to be uniform. Every Native person does not think that all these mascots should be changed. Some of them like it. But then you have a sizable part on the other way. Joe, like everything, it's not black and white, even though that's what we love to make things black and white.
Right.
But
I mean, you look at Florida State is the example that comes to mind. They're the Florida State Seminoles, but they have a relationship with the Seminole Nation, right? I mean, that is, they work together, and that's why Florida State is still, I mean, their mascot is actually someone from the Seminole Nation, you know, chosen to represent the mascot for Florida State Athletics. So that's an example. Hey, maybe that's something that, I guess not in New York State you can't do because, you know, in Albany they said that no school can have that as a mascot.
You know what's offensive to me and what I would take, like, really offense to what's if that? I was Native would be the people who say, well, what's next? You're canceling mascots. Is Bulldogs going to be offensive next? How many people have texted in about animals? Listen, these are people. There's a clear difference between people and animals. Again, you're not calling into the PETA hour. There's a clear difference between people and animals. And you taking this example and saying, well, they're going to, you know, we got to change our animal nickname next. You're proving John Cain's point that you're not looking at our neighbors as people. You're looking at them as a totally different group of something else. You're proving his point when you make these idiotic comparisons. Anyways, Joe, what are you talking about today?
Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about the Bills, obviously, after yesterday. The Bills support the fandom in Western New York. Also, any holiday parties are you actually going to go to on Saturday? We'll talk about that then.
Can I go off the rails on you?
Of course.
This idea that people are like so stunned that the Bills are playing on Saturday night. Was this not on the schedule as TBD? It was never listed as Sunday ever.
I never thought it was going to be Sunday. And just like, by the way, the Patriots game is also a TBD, just so everyone knows.
The game this Saturday was never listed as happening on Sunday.
No. And most people thought it was going
to
be Saturday.
I think if you were to assume one thing, I would have assumed it was going to be on Saturday.
Yes, for sure. The NFL Network only gets a few games this season. They weren't going to turn down what's going to be a very well-viewed game.
If you're shocked by this development, I think that's on you.
Yeah, for sure. If you scheduled something, that's on you. Also, we're going to get into a little bit of politics, Brian. We talked with Dave Leventhal yesterday about the aging of our Senate and Congress. And, you know, Dianne Feinstein's 89 years old, and you've got Joe Biden, who's president, Donald Trump, the former president. Would you like to see something different in 2024? Just two completely different candidates? I know I would. We'll talk about that. And, yes, Brian, we're going to talk about workplace romance, all coming up next with Joe Beamer in for David Bellavia.
There you go. Joe's coming up after the news. Thanks for being with me. We'll both be back here bright and early tomorrow on WBEN.